bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you be willing to say silently from your heart, Lord, would you please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you? Lord, would you please speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you? Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message filled with your spirit. It simply means controlled completely with your spirit today. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. You know, today is actually a great day to honor our moms. It really is. I'm glad we have days like this. Because so often we kind of get in a rut, and sometimes, as most of us in life, we don't let people know how much we really appreciate them. So when Mother's Day was established, I think it was a good idea, and I think it's a great day to honor our moms. Whether your mom is living or not, it's still a good day to honor her. Whether your mom, you may say to me, preacher, actually, I'll be completely honest, my mom was not a good mom, was not a good influence, treated me bad, whatever the case may be, you can at least thank the Lord that your mom allowed you to come into the world. And so today is a great day to honor moms. And if you're a mom, again, we're so glad that you're here today. This morning, we're going to be talking about what every child needs in a mom. What every child needs in a mom. I always find this kind of humorous that whenever we're preaching on Father's Day, you know, it's kind of, you know, being a man and preaching on Father's Day, nobody's like, all right, men, you need to put your pants on. You need to make sure that you get out there and serve the Lord and straighten up and fly right. I mean, we're tough on dads. And then moms are like, oh, our moms were so wonderful. As we honor them today, and if you're, I mean, usually. So let me tell you, I want to give you a little warning, a little heads up. We're kind of in between today as we're talking about moms. There will be a challenge, but there definitely is appreciation in the message. We're going to be looking at the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we're under the title, What Every Child Needs in a Mom. Now, there's several asterisks I have at the top of my sermon today that I wanted to mention in particular. Now, you got to keep in mind, Mary had a perfect child, okay? And if you have children, you know that they're not perfect. And guess what? You were a child once, and you still are the child of someone. You're not perfect either. So there are some principles we can glean, but Mary did have a perfect child. Now, she went on to have other children as well, and they weren't perfect, but we can learn some lessons from Mary. Secondly, Mary was not a perfect mom. Mary was not a perfect mom. Mary never attained perfection, okay? We're not worshiping Mary, but just learning from her good qualities as a woman and mom. You see, Mary was a sinner just like us. So we can learn from her. She had to understand and accept that her son was the Savior, the Messiah, the Savior of the world that paid for her sins as well for her to go to heaven. And lastly, although the message will emphasize good qualities of a mom, we all can and should have a measure of these qualities in our lives as well. So dads, you may be here today, or all the males may be thinking, all right, I can just turn the preacher off. Even more than usual, because he's preaching to moms. But really, these qualities that we're going to look at are qualities that we all should have in our hearts and lives. We're going to be looking at different snapshots in the life of Mary and what we can learn from those, okay? What every child needs in a mom. And look at Mary, the mother of Christ. Point number one, a good mom prioritizes her service to the Lord. A good mom prioritizes her service to the Lord. If you want to open in your Bibles, they'll be up on the monitor. We will be jumping around a fair amount today, looking again at certain snapshots in the life of Mary. But when the angel Gabriel came and told Mary that she was going to bear the Christ child, remember that story? Remember the words of the angel Gabriel to Mary? And the angel came in unto her, Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now, we may have let what other churches think about Mary impact us to the point that we don't really give her the honor that she deserves. You know, what the angel said to her, let's listen to three things here in particular. First of all, it says the angel came in to her and said, "Thou art highly favored." Now, you're blessed. You want to have a child, that's part of the blessing. I don't know what's going on with my mic. Seems like it's kind of cutting in and out. I'm not sure, but it says, "Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee." That's always great news, right? And it says, "Blessed art thou among women." Now, you could take some of those as like you're going to be blessed by God. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. But believe me, Mary was a good young woman. She was faithful to the Lord, or she would not have been called to this mission of which she was about to partake. Y'all going to smile at me? Okay. I didn't have you stand up and wave at me. Maybe I should have had you do that. So smile at me now. Just kind of do like, just like you're giving me a high five, okay? Just do this. Come on, some of you didn't give me a high five. I'm offended. Okay, all right. Here we go. Point number one, a good mom prioritizes her service to the Lord. Mary had a walk with God. She had a walk with the Lord. It says in Luke 1:38, you know, remember the angel said, "You're going to have the Christ child," and Mary had a question like, "Well, how's that going to happen? I don't know a man, or I've not had relations with a man. How is that going to happen?" And the angel responds and says, "With God, nothing is impossible." But do you remember her response? Her response goes like this in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." You know what she's saying? "Here's your servant." Then she goes on, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. You know, I see in Mary a future mom, at least, that prioritized her service to the Lord. It was a priority. She basically said, "Lord, whatever you want me to do." You know the kind of moms that we need today? We need moms who are serious about the Lord. We don't need moms that punch a time clock, or use that word, "I'm a Christian," all the time, but don't live it. We need moms that are living for the Lord. And a lot of people say, "Well, I'll do that later. Now, you just watch. You just watch. You see, kids are watching their mom and dad. And if I had to tell you the most important aspect of a child serving the Lord and being faithful, it's the example that the parents set. That's it. That's it. Now, sometimes parents set great examples, but children say, "No, I'm not going to do it." And sometimes, by the grace of God, parents are not faithful, but the kids rise up and say, "You know what? My family's not been, but I'm going to be." So there's exceptions to that. But I'm saying the priority of a mom ought to be, "I'm going to put the Lord first." So we have a whole lot of parents, a whole lot of moms that are just kind of going through the motions. And they're not serious about, believe me, your kids, you're not fooling your kids. And if they don't have the Lord to fill the void in their heart, they're going to find something to fill that void. I'm thankful for moms that make the Lord a priority. You see, that's a quality that these kids need. They need to see in their mom that this Christianity thing is serious and it's real. They need to know that it's real. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my mom and the priority that she had in the Lord. I'm thankful for my mother-in-law also. I got to get a few points in here with my father-in-law too. But my mother-in-law, I've got a good mother. I had a good mother-in-law. She's with the Lord. Have a good father-in-law. I'm thankful for my wife, the mother of my boys, that they put the Lord as a priority in their life. And believe me, it has impact upon the kids and the grandkids and the great-grandkids that we raise up. Now, you can tell a child 100,000 times, you don't need to do this or you need to do this. But when you show them the example, that's what really sticks. You see, a good mom. Did y'all lose your amen out there or what? I haven't heard an amen yet. A good mom prioritizes her service to the Lord. Again, the best thing that you could do for your children is to put the Lord first in all things. Number two, look at another snapshot in the life of Mary. A good mom ponders over things. A good mom ponders over things. You see, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, remember, and the shepherds came and worshiped the Lord? In Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. Luke chapter 2 and verse 19. I want you to listen to these words, all right? But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Isn't that cool? She thought about it. She mulled it over a little bit. She was pondering, what just happened here? Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. When Jesus was 12. Remember the family went to Passover to Jerusalem? And they thought that Jesus, after it was over, was with them. Remember that? And then they start checking with everybody. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? And they go, we're not here. 3 days later, they find him. You know where he's at? He's at the temple. And he's preaching and teaching all the doctors there in the temple. Remember that? Now it says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth, verse 51, and was subject unto them. But notice what Mary, about this whole situation, about losing Jesus, finding Jesus, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment, but notice, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Kind of the same idea, pondering them in her heart. You know, we live in such an age, we don't even have time to think anymore. Sometimes we need to turn everything off. Turn your phone off, or at least put it away from you. Get away from it. Get away from the television. Get away from the radio. Get away from all the noise. And just think and ponder. And if we do that, that'll help us in our walk with God. We need to ponder over Scripture. We need to ponder about how good God is. We need to ponder about how to best raise my son or my daughter or my grandkid. You see, Mary was a ponderer. That's one of my favorite words. I love to ponder. Sometimes Amy comes up to me. She still does this. And she thinks something wrong. She said, well, Steve, what's wrong? Nothing. I'm thinking. Or I might say, I'm pondering. Now, when you don't have much to work with, you got to understand, I got to pause and think about it in quiet. But it's a good idea for moms to ponder. Really, it is. Think about it. Soak it in. And say, how can I be a better mom? And dads to say, how can I be a better dad? You know, as we look at what every child needs in mom, first of all, a good mom prioritizes her service to the Lord. The Lord is number one in her life. Number two, a good mom ponders over things. That simply means to pause and think. Pause and think over things. The third quality, as we take another snapshot in the life of Mary, it's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52. Now, this is the story that I alluded to earlier. But point number three is a good mom is patient with her children. A good mom is patient with her children. Remember the story, as I related a moment ago. Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. 3 days later, they find him teaching at the temple. You know, Mary could have completely exploded. I'm not so sure that I wouldn't have exploded as a dad. And I'm sure that Amy would probably, after 3 days of worrying and wondering where in the world is Jesus, could have very easily exploded on the scene. And you could say in this passage, well, she lost her temper and she... No. Now, she was concerned and she asked some questions. For instance, in Luke chapter chapter 2 and verse 48. Notice what it says. It says, and when they saw him, that's Jesus, at 12 years of age, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, she probably wasn't yelling and screaming, but she probably gave him the look. Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold thy father, and I have sought thee sorrowing. You know, there's something in life that makes you think the worst, right? I find that today, sometimes I can't get in touch with the boys for something, then your mind starts to wonder. You're thinking, what in the world? You know, and it's just like worst case scenario. I usually just have to say, devil, just leave me alone, leave me alone. They're fine, everything's good probably, so we're good. But you know, she could have really exploded. But you know what? She really showed patience to Jesus. The next verse, notice what it says in verse 49. It says, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Now, here you got God the Son, Jesus. He's very conscious about doing the will of the Father, right? So he was so conscious. He wanted to be right in the center of God's will, God the Father's will. And he says, well, you know, don't you think I should be about my Father's business? Now, this was a learning process for Mary and for Joseph at this point as well, right? But notice verse 50. It says, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. It's like, huh? I just don't quite get exactly what he means by that. But in verse 51, it says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Isn't that something? You got Jesus, the Son of God, and the little note to kids and to grandkids and to great-grandkids, showing respect and honor and being subject to your parents. Even Jesus was. It says he was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. As I look at this story, as I look at this picture in the life of Mary, a good mom is patient with her children. I don't see any rebuke here. Again, I know that Jesus was perfect, okay? And I know that your kids are never perfect. But a good dose of patience goes a long way, right? You know, typically, whenever our boys disobeyed, and I'll use the only experience I have, I'm not a mom, but we tried to teach our boys something through that. You know, rather than exploding and overreacting, it's a good time to teach your children something. Do as best you can to be patient with them, because you know what? Your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids are all a work in progress, and they're all sinners. Now, I'm not saying be easy on them or easy on sin, and I'm not speaking of abuse. Abuse, physical abuse, or any type of abuse is always sin. But I'm talking about, as a parent, as a mom, try your best to be patient with your kids. And instead of exploding, sometimes, moms, dads, listen to them, try to understand them, correct them as you need to, discipline them as you need to, but always show them patience and long-suffering. Y'all agree with that? You're an awful quiet bunch today. I hope you agree with that. The Bible does. All right. Whatever child needs in a mom. Number one, a good mom prioritizes her service to the Lord. Number two, a good mom ponders over things. Number three, a good mom is patient with her children. You know, I really believe that being patient is akin to the idea of showing grace. I really do. Showing your kids grace. Number four, a good mom prods her children to do good. A good mom prods her children to do good. You know, Jesus' first miracle, another snapshot in the life of Mary. Remember Jesus' first miracle, the turning of the water into wine at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. Y'all remember that? This is his first miracle. Now, when I say that a good mom prods her children to do good, and looking at this story, I am not implying that Jesus was late, all right? I am not implying that at all, because Jesus was perfect. But you know, in this story, Mary did prod him just a little bit. And he said, what, my time is now. It's not time for me to really start my ministry. But I really think what happened, it started just like that. It was like, okay, it's not time. And he was absolutely right. She says something. He says, it's not my time. But then, boom, God the Father says, okay, now it is time. I really think that's the way it worked. But look at these verses. John chapter 2. Look at verse 3. John chapter 2. Notice verse 3. And when they wanted wine, they were at the marriage feast, okay? They run out of wine. Now, before you get too bent out of shape and say, wine, wine, see, wine, Jesus, their wine is not like our wine. I really hold to the point that their wine wasn't even fermented. And if it was, you say, yeah, well, it's not near what our wine and our alcoholic beverages are today. But I don't think it was any in it. Because the Bible says, don't even look upon the wine when it's red, when it's fermented. When it moves in the cup, don't even look at it. So, that's my thought, but moving on. It says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, they have no wine. We've run out. Who did she say it to? They have no wine. Look at verse 4. Jesus said then to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. It's not time for me to start my ministry. But notice in verse 5 what happens. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now again, I understand that Jesus was the Son of God. I understand that he was perfect. But I see in this passage a mom who is prodding her children to do good. At this time, her child, Jesus. Now, he was all good. He always did good. He didn't do anything bad, but she brought it up. She saw a need and prodded her child to do good. Now, you know, a responsibility of every mom here today for your kids and your grandkids. Now, remember, when I say grandkids, over half, I believe it's in the state. Last number I heard, it may be different now. Just like a last couple years, like 52% of the kids in West Virginia were being raised by their grandparents. So whether you're mom, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're a great-grandparent, urge or prod, encourage your children to do good. And again, it's hard to encourage them to do good if you're not doing good too. But urge them. A good mom will do that very thing. I'm thankful. If you look at verse 5, when she talks to a servant, you know Mary had confidence in her son. And I know he was the Son of God. But I really believe that we as parents need to have confidence in our kids. Now I know they can disappoint us. I know they can let us down. I know all those things. But if anybody ought to think that they can do something, it ought to be the parents. If they think their kids, and the kids ought to have their backing of mom and dad. You know what we tell the boys all the time? We tell the boys all the time that we're your biggest cheerleaders. And you can do this. I mean, how many times have I texted the boys when they're in tests or projects and stressed out and everything's kind of crazy and they're not getting enough rest and on and on. I say, you know what? God's got this. You and God can handle it. You know, things like that. We ought to have confidence in our kids and moms and grandparents. It's too many times we say so many negative things. That just tears them down. What we need to do with God's help is to encourage them. You can do this with God's help. You know, when she's talking to the servant, she had full confidence. Again, I know it's Jesus. Full confidence that my son is going to handle this situation. And I really do. In our boys, I'm not just blowing smoke. I have confidence in our boys. I think we need to encourage our kids, don't y'all? Instead of saying things like, you're not going to amount to anything. You're going to end up in prison. You know what? You're nothing but trash. You know, parents say that to their kids sometimes. What is that doing to them? Just tearing them down. We live in a harsh enough world. If anybody ought to think little Junior could do it, it ought to be mom and dad. Today, looking at what every child needs in a mom, a good mom prioritizes her service to God. The Lord is number one. Second, a good mom ponders over things, takes time to sit back and think, what does God want me to be? What does God want my kids to be? How can I better serve them as a mom or a dad in this matter? Thirdly, a good mom is patient with her children. Is there frustration? Absolutely. If you don't want to be frustrated, don't be a parent. There's stresses. There's things that, but guess what? It's worth it. Fourthly, a good mom prods her children to do good. Number five, a good mom is always present for their children. A good mom is always present for their children. If you look at a snapshot in John chapter 19, now this is at the cross of Jesus. Now think about this. Think about this. Mary, the mother of Christ, saw her son crucified, experienced the worst possible death known to man to that point. I mean, the Romans had perfected it so that it was as painful as, more painful than any other torture. Now notice who is there with Jesus at this time. Do you think that was difficult? You know, sometimes our kids might go through difficult times, and I've heard people say sometimes, well, I can't handle that kind of stuff, so they're on their own. I've heard people say when people are in the hospital, kind of a related subject, well, I just don't do hospitals. Duh. That's kind of goofy. Nobody likes going to the hospital. Some people say, I'm not going to go to the funeral. That's too tough on me. Well, think of the family. Put on your big boy pants and be there, right? That's a little extra couple points. You don't have to pay me any extra for that or anything. But when it comes to our kids, they go through difficult times too. We need to be there for them. The mother of Jesus was there. And it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Notice what it says. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he saith to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. It's amazing to me that Jesus was so concerned about his mother at this time. All the torture that he was going to. That speaks to the type of Savior that we have. But it also speaks to the type of mom that Mary was. She was there. Was it difficult? Absolutely. Was it brutal? Absolutely. Were there tears shed? Absolutely. Was the pain that she saw on her point that she could hardly bear it? I believe so. But you know what? A good mom is always present for their children. I really don't understand parents that abandon their kids or ignore their kids or treat their kids like they are a bother. I don't get it. It's an honor to be part of their lives. It's an honor to have kids. You know, we hear about sometimes, quite often, that sometimes when parents split up, that dad doesn't have anything to do with these kids. Sometimes it's the mom doesn't have anything to do with the kids. Now, folks, that's sinful. You know, just because mom and dad sinned and divorced and made a mess of that part of their life, they're still your kids. Your kids need to be part of your life. And let me say this. If you're estranged from someone in your family right now, let's make it a little broader. Life is awfully short. You need to do whatever you need to do to get back in the lives of some of these family members who might be estranged. Maybe you need to just go and say, you know what? I don't think we'll ever agree on this point, but that's all right. You're still my brother. You're still my child. You're still my dad. You're still my, and get together. But a good mom is there for their kids. Last point. It says, A good mom will plod on for the Lord. A good mom will plod on for the Lord. You know, in the upper room, after the crucifixion of Jesus, after the resurrection, there was a group of disciples that were gathered together. And their main purpose was mainly to wait for the Holy Spirit's arrival. Because the Lord had promised the Holy Spirit, right? So in Acts chapter 1, let's look at two verses. I'm almost finished. Acts chapter 1, verse 13. It says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. There's the 11 remaining apostles, write their name. Now notice what they were doing. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, a lot of these women that supported the ministry of Jesus, who were there for the crucifixion, witnessed the resurrection, and it says, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That would be his earthly brethren also, who recognized who he was. You know, a good mom will plod on for the Lord. Who was there in the upper room? Mary, mom. She was plodding on for the Lord. And I have to tell you that if I could give you probably the most memorable, let's say, quality of my mom's walk with the Lord, of my mom's walk with the Lord, was that she was a plodder. So we've covered two of my favorite words in the English language, ponder and now plod. Plod just means you just keep on going for the Lord. You know, she could have, watching her son die, she could have said, I'm done with this thing. But she kept on serving the Lord. And even in the upper room, she's there praying and in this group of unity and waiting for God to move. You see, she kept on plodding forward. My mom, she had six kids. They were Kincaids was the last name. She was married to a Kincaid. He drank bad. He was in a car accident and was killed. Six kids. Then my mom married my dad and they had me. Ta-da! Aren't you glad of that? I'm the only delay in the bunch. But you know, as life went on, my dad divorced my mom and left my mom. And my mom had one son that committed suicide. Now, in all of that, now I'll tell you clearly, and she'd tell you the same thing. She'd talk your ear off, and then she'd tell you this. I'm not perfect. My mom wasn't perfect, but she was a plodder. She was a plodder. She just kept on serving the Lord. She never denied the Lord. She never blamed the Lord. She just kept on serving the Lord. You know, What your kids need is to know that what you have is real. And even when things get tough, you keep on serving the Lord. Because guess what? In life, things are going to get tough. And they need to say, you know what? My mom, now she's a plotter. My dad, now he's a plotter. He just keeps on doing what he knows to do is right. Even when things are tough. Today, we've talked about what every child needs in a mom. A good mom prioritizes her service to the Lord. In other words, puts the Lord first. I got a question for you. Are you a mom or a grandma or a great-grandma who puts the Lord first in your life? Is the Lord really number one? I think you know the answer to that right now. I mean, just me asking the question. If you know the Lord is your Savior, it's like, boom. Either you are or you aren't. If you had that kind of mom or have that kind of mom now or grandma or great-grandma, I want you to thank her, if you can, for being someone who puts the Lord first, and thank the Lord for that mom or grandma or great-grandma. Secondly, a good mom ponders over things. Let me ask you a question. Are you a mom, a grandma, or a great-grandma who ponders over things? Like how to guide your child in their walk with the Lord. How to be the best mom you could be. How to best respond to a situation. And even pondering over the Word of God. Are you that kind of mom? If not, I imagine the Lord is telling you that. You know, sometimes you just need to stop. take a deep breath and just think about things a little bit, ponder them. If you had that kind of mom or grandma or great-grandma, if you can, thank her and thank the Lord. Thirdly, a good mom is patient with her children. Let me ask you a question. Are you a mom or a grandma or a great-grandma who is patient with her children? If not, I imagine the Lord right now is speaking to your heart. If you know the Lord, the Holy Spirit is saying, you know what? You could be more patient with your kids. If you had or have that kind of mom or grandma or great-grandma, thank her if you can. If she's on this earth, if she's not, and even if she is, thank the Lord that you have that kind of patient mom. Number four, we looked at a good mom prods her children to do good. Are you a mom or grandma or great-grandma who prods your children to do good? And when I say good, I'm talking about good for the Lord. If you had that kind of mom or currently have that kind of mom, grandma, great-grandma, thank her if you can and thank the Lord. Number five, today we looked at a good mom is always present for their children. Are you a mom or a grandma or a great-grandma who is always present, always there for your children? And if you had that kind of mom or grandma or great-grandma, thank her if you can and thank the Lord. And lastly, we looked at a good mom will plod on for the Lord. Are you a mom or grandma or great-grandma who just keeps on doing what you know to do is right, keeps on serving the Lord? If you had that kind of mom, I hope you can thank her if you can. If not, thank the Lord for her. But you know, as I mentioned earlier, shouldn't everyone have these qualities in their life? Even if you don't have the title of mom, don't you think everyone should make your service to Jesus priority number one? Don't you think every one of us should ponder over the things in life and over the Bible? Don't you think every one of us should be patient or long-suffering with those in our life? Don't you think that every one of us should prod those around us to do good? Don't you think every one of us should be present for those who need us? And don't you think that every one of us should plod on for the Lord? If you would bow your head and close your eyes, let me ask you, has God spoken to your heart today about something in the message from God's Word? Is God speaking to your heart today about something in the Word of God? As we sing here in just a moment, would you respond to the message and come to the altar and talk to the Lord about it? Maybe your prayer needs to say, Lord, forgive me for, Lord, help me with. Because if the Holy Spirit is speaking, we definitely don't want to say no. But what about someone today who may be here and never, ever trusted Jesus as their Savior, never been saved? Don't you think it'd be a great thing on Mother's Day 2025 to trust Jesus as your Savior? You see, the Lord Jesus died on a cross to pay for those sins in your life. So that when you put your faith and trust in what he did and believe that Jesus really was God's Son, you can be saved. You can get rid of the guilt, the shame. You have purpose in life. You have joy in life. You have a wonderful future to look forward to. Don't you want that? As we sing here in just a moment, if that's you, I'll be somewhere down front. As we sing, would you come forward and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. Do you realize that the invitation is open today, but it may be closed tomorrow? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, best decision you could ever make. Would you do that today? Dear Heavenly Father, we commit the invitation to you now. Lord, we thank you for the example of Mary. And Lord, help us all to have these qualities in our lives, we pray. If there's one here today who's not saved, I pray that they'll come forward with boldness and be saved. Get my attention and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. They can leave this place with joy and peace and purpose and a wonderful future, knowing they're on their way to heaven. Lord, give them the boldness to do so. In Jesus' name.